All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Blessing to be here with you all this morning. Hear the boys' lesson and the singing. Just a real blessing to see you all and being involved and just jumping right in there. It's a good thing. Welcome, Brother Roger from India. Told me a few months ago he was planning on coming, and then last night he called me and said, I'm here. So, make sure you spend some time. He's going to be here a few days, so if you want to have a day with him, just somebody do some coordinating so you can try to spend some time with each family if it's possible. All right. Anyone else have anything you want to share before we go on? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, you've given to us, Father. Thank you for the opportunity that's before these young people, Lord, that Lord, an opportunity to serve you, Father, from a good, solid foundation. We just ask you to help us be faithful to you, bring glory to you. Again, we ask this in Jesus' precious name, that you would fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. Amen. All right, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Talk about faith this morning. Begin in verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. I've read this, and you can kind of put the emphasis on now. It says now faith, because that's what faith is. Faith is not something in the future or something that we have had in the past. It is right now. And now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want to maybe emphasize or expand a little on things not seen and put in there things not felt. Things not experienced. It's while faith is very substantial to us, what we have faith in sometimes is not very appearing substantial. It's just not there for us just to reach out and grab a hold of all the time. In fact, most of the time, our faith is just in a hope of something beyond our sight, beyond our reason, beyond our reach. It's something that when we have real faith or now faith, it's usually at a time when there is nothing, no indication of there being a faith or something to hope for. It's looking past our situation, our circumstance, what's going on around us, what we're going through. It's looking past all of the obvious things that are attacking us on our right hand and on our left. It's hoping for a breath of air when you're underwater and haven't breathed for a while. You know, the desperation of having your head underwater and thinking that you're going to run out of breath. but having the confidence that you will find another breath. And so you keep on going. Real faith is not how we feel about a subject. Real faith is not having something concrete that we can tie ourselves to. Real faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's when our faith is tested. That's when our faith is tried. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. You know, we can believe that God created all things. And we understand that. To us, it just doesn't seem like it takes a lot of faith just to understand those things. We hear of some of the arguments of people who say there is no God, and we wonder, wow, they have tremendous faith to be able to believe their arguments. But our faith understands that we don't know where all this came from, but we believe there's a God, and there's evidence all over that someone created this. And they were made out of things which are visible. It's hard for us sometimes to, when we live in a visual world, a touch and feel world, to realize that this is not what's real. This is all just temporary. That's so difficult for us to see that there is more than this. There's more than people. There's more than flesh and blood. We often hear, every day or every week, we hear of someone who's left this life and they're gone on. They have entered into what is real. But our thinking and our thoughts are so opposite of that. We think they're leaving what is real. And that's the mindset of the world. We think that they're actually, oh no, they're leaving what's real. What are they going to do now? But in reality, this is the illusion. And eternity is what is real. And that's hard for us to see that. But these people we're talking about in the Bible, that's what they saw. Said, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though it is dead, he still speaks. Faith, there's a lot of talk about faith in Christianity, and some talk about your faith and how excited you can get, and they say that that's faith. Or how learned you can get, or how well you can explain things, and they talk about that being faith. But as we read here, this chapter that's devoted to faith, that's not what you see these people having. Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. He saw a better way. By faith Enoch, when he was taken up, so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. The righteousness of Abel, and God testifying about his gifts, he noticed, he saw. And Enoch was pleasing to God. And God noticed that he was pleasing to them. That's the testimony we need to strive for. There's a few verses in the book of Acts where men are trying to cast out a demon. The sons of Sceva, they're trying to cast out a demon. And the demon speaks through the man and says, the people were saying, "I adjure you in the name of Jesus to depart from this man." And the demon spoke and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You're evoking this name, but who are you? I don't know who you are." And the demon pounced on them and sent them all wounded, scurrying away. God recognizes the faith that some have, the righteousness that some have, the ability to please Him that some have. And the devils recognize that too. The devil knew who Paul was. The devil knew who Jesus was. The devil knows a lot of others throughout history. We read in the book of Job where Job was living his life, and the devil said, well, God bragged on Job and said, "Look at my servant. Have you seen my servant Job?" Right away the devil said, "He's just serving you because you bless him. Let me take all that away and I'll show you what he's made of." And the Lord allowed it. The devil knew who Job was. If you are serving the Lord, if you're righteous, if you're pleasing to God, the devil will know who you are. Do you think it was easy for Job, after he had lost everything, sitting in a pile of ashes, and his wife and his friends telling him, "Curse God and die"? When everything is taken away, all he had was his faith in God, his hope in God. And it looked like God had even forsaken him. But he still trusted in God. When Jesus was dying on the cross, what was one of the last things that he said? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Even Jesus himself felt like he was forsaken by God. And yet, he held on to that unseen little bit of faith, that unseen hope that God would see it through, that he could still trust that all things were in God's hands. That's what faith is. It's not believing that you're just going to go to heaven just because Jesus died for you. It's not believing that you can have God's blessings because you're able to do a bunch of miracles or do things in Jesus' name. Faith is when there's nothing else and you can still press on. When you can keep on going, when everything around you is falling apart, you just keep on going. You just keep pressing on. We read about these men. Verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who seek Him." we're kind of used this, and this talked about someone just staying in prayer for 5 or 10 minutes till you know that you've got a hold of God, or an hour. But that's not what it is to seek God. Seeking God is a lifetime endeavor. He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. It's not a one-time mountaintop experience that assures you that you're a child of God. Faith is a lifetime seeking and pursuing after God, through good times and through bad times. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we look at God, God's not one that just, oh, I'm going to give you a 2-minute test and see how you turn out here. He never does that. God is testing us for a lifetime. Is He just doing this because He likes this? No. He's doing this so that we can improve, so that we can draw nearer. He takes Himself away so that we can seek more after Him. See, you don't seek if you just have what you're seeking after. You quit seeking it. But every time we get a little closer, He draws a little way. Why? Because He's just tricking us? No. Because He's stretching us to reach on. He's drawing us to seek after Him more and more and more and more. And each step that we take in life, we kind of think we get one series of steps all worked out, and we get it all figured out, and then guess what? We get a different step in a different direction. Sometimes He tries us through hard testing, and we either draw near to Him or we turn away from Him. Sometimes He tests us through trials. We either keep going through them or we give up to them. Sometimes He tests us in the desert. Sometimes He tests us in the desert. We know the story about the children of Israel that had faith enough to be delivered from Egypt, had faith enough to walk through the Red Sea on dry ground, had faith enough to defeat their armies and enemies. But after trudging through the desert for 40 years, only two of them had faith enough to go through. That desert is a killer. We can worry about all the temptations around us and all of the things that are going on, and the fights and the struggles and the battles that we go through, the things that happen to us, the persecutions. And people are lost in those things. But usually, those things make us stronger, because we're fighting, we're pressing on, and we can just keep on going. And sometimes after we've been through some of those battles, there's a long, vast desert stretching out in front of us. And we just have to trudge through it. Day after day after day after day. These people trudged through the desert for 40 years. We think it would be awful to have to do it for a week and wonder if we could survive. But can you imagine? 40 years? Where's your faith going to be after 40 years of going through the wilderness? Oh yeah, once in a while you see a little example, there drops a little manna down or leads you to some water once in a while. But most of the time, it's just walking through a dry old desert. We look at these people, why would they complain? God gave them manna. God gave them quail. God gave them water. Why would they complain? Oh, I don't know, 40 years of walking through the desert. Kind of shoots a hole in all your plans, doesn't it? Kind of not much to live for, except getting out of the desert. And for 40 years, they walked in the desert. No great personal revival experiences. Just pretty dry. Water and manna. Water and manna. No, oh, thrilling, exciting victories. Just water and manna. Just enough to sustain you if you keep on going. That's what faith is. That's faith. We talk about and see a lot of these things, and there was a miracle happened in many cases. And it's nice just to go through and hit the highlights of the miracles. This chapter goes through and just focuses on some exciting things that happened. But most of these things happened only in one little moment of these individuals' lives. How many times did Abel offer up a sacrifice? One time. Lived his whole life, offered up that one sacrifice, and then lived the rest of his life. But we see that as, oh man, he was full of faith. And we see Noah, this next one, hey, built a boat. Wow. Sing a little song about Noah and all the animals marching in two by two and so on. Boy, he was full of faith. How many years did he live his life before God told him to build a boat? How many years did he spend sawing and hammering, measuring, gathering to build a boat? See, you see what I'm saying? We see that as, oh, a man of faith. Boy, he just really did something. And then he spent how many days floating around on a boat full of animals, wondering whether he'd ever see land again. And then had the rest of his life to live after that. He lived to be a good long old age. But there was only two or three moments of real excitement, godly thrill in his life. But we read through this whole chapter in 5 minutes and just skip across the high points. Oh, Noah did this, and Moses did this, and oh, they just, Elijah, all those guys, wow, boom, 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 look at that, exciting, that's faith. But that's not faith at all. It's the 20, 30, 40, 60, 100 years of walking through dry deserts, mundane day-to-day life that brought them to that one high point or two high points. I don't know how many times I've heard people just pick out all these high places in the Bible and mark them out as faith. And they forget that real faith is whenever God's nowhere to be found. The devil is roaring and raging in your head and in your ears. People turning against you, rejecting you, suffering, prospering, all of those different times that you live through, just keeping going. Keep on going. We saw a sign this week along the river, and every once in a while you'd see a sign that says, "Keep on going. Keep on going." You know, sometimes we need that sign in our lives. We talked about what the sign meant. Well, maybe it meant no trespassing. Keep on going. Don't stop here. Maybe it meant keep on going. You're just about there. But aren't they both what we need to hear? Keep on going. Don't get off here and start trespassing where you don't belong. Keep on going, because although you can't see it, you're about to get through this. When you're in the fire, keep on going. When you're in a battle, keep on going. When your reputation's shot, keep on going. When people turn against you, keep on going. When you feel all alone, keep on going. The Lord will tell you when you're home. Until then, keep on going. When you can't take anymore, when you just can't take it anymore, keep on going. Young people, whenever things look like there's no hope for you here, there's no future in the church, there's just going to be hard all your life, keep on going. Things look pretty big sometimes when we're young. They look big when you're older too, but sometimes when you're young, it just looks like you're going to be stuck right in this situation forever. It just looks like the situation you're in, it's just hopeless. That's when you have to just keep going. Don't go out and make your own path, because you don't want to keep on going through the one God has set in front of you. Keep on going. Whatever situation you find yourself in, keep on going. You mess up. You make decisions you shouldn't have. Now live in the one you're in and keep on going. So easy to get discouraged because you did something dumb. So you just throw in the towel. That's when you get up, dust yourself off, and keep on going. Well, I guess you know what the title of that is. Keep on going. All right. Anyone else? have anything you'd like to share? I guess we'll meet back here at your place. We'll go to Wilbur's tonight for supper. Bring chairs. All right. Well, God bless you all. May the Lord be with you.